At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Beyond the junkyard echoes roar, shattered dreams and bloodstains pour, grit and glory all from war.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. I am your host, Junkyard James, and with me as always is the one, the only, the man with the most sauce, Cody Marinara. How are you, my friend?
Fickle. That's the word tonight, sir. It's fickle. There's a lot of things fickle in the world today. One of my favorite coaches ever, Dabo Sweeney, head coach of your Clemson Tigers. He kind of famously coined that phrase, fickle. Well, Daniel Bryan did too. Dabo, I think, used frugal, not fickle, but you get the gist. You understand where I'm getting at. Fickle. That's the word of the day. That's the word of the night. And you'll kind of see why in a little while. But the world is fickle, my man. It's been a slow news day. It's been a slow news day in the States, shall we say. The world is having a great giggle at us. But hey, this is why I've said I wanted to move to Switzerland, and it's looking better every day. I'm just still trying to convince my wife to move over there. It'll happen one day, maybe when we're 90, but we'll get there. Other than that, we're okay. How the hell are you doing there, Jamie man?
I am doing well, my friend. It is it's almost the weekend. We got a nice jam-packed show for everybody today. That leads me into this. There are four buttons at the top right hand of the screen. It's four things I need you to do if you're watching this stream right now. And number one is hit that thumbs up button. Last week's live stream got to the magical number that we asked for, which was three thumbs up. Let's try and get more of those as we can continue to grow as a community there. So hit that like button. Leave a comment. As our friend DJ Wavy D is doing in the comments, he says he loves Switzerland. So many Tiffany Stratton looking women there. I'm sold.
That's not the reason why I want to move to Switzerland. I love my wife. She's the most beautiful looking girl in the world. And good for y'all for the single men. If there's single ladies in Switzerland, more than welcome to join us. We just want to go for the peace and quiet in the Alps and other things. But, well, that's the main ones.
Thirdly, I need you to hit that share button and share this with all of your wrestling friends. Even if they don't like wrestling, just share it and tell them, hey, watch these two knuckleheads talk about something you don't understand. And just share it, and let's grow as a community. Hit that subscribe button and check the notification bell to make sure you are notified every time we go live or a video is released. Of course, we have the live stream every Thursday live at 9 o'clock Eastern time. Obviously, you know that because you're here right now. But on a Saturday, I also do a solo show. I call it Solo Saturday. It's dedicated to engagement with our Discord community. The link for the Discord should be in the description box in the video. So go ahead and check that out. As we always do to start each show, we're going to do a game of Guess That Wrestler. And of course, we can't thank enough the affiliate partner Dummy Energy for partnering with us. Dummy Energy is a great energy product that helps you keep sharp without the jitters. It's packed with clean, transparent ingredients, no sugar or artificial junk. It's just pure crash-free focus. Whether you're a gamer, you're working, or you're grinding throughout the day, Dubby's got your back. Use the code Beyond the Yard at checkout for 10% off of your order. They have new flavors that have come out. A s'mores flavor. They've gotten a Minecraft movie version of some of their flavors. So use that code Beyond the Yard for 10% off. And are you ready to play Guess That Wrestler, my friend?
Yes. There's a comment there that had me going. That's pretty good.
I have not used Dubby before that intimate relations, so I cannot recommend.
I'm gonna say yes. I'm gonna say do it.
Look, it's pure crash free focus. So you'll be focused on the job at hand. Mix it with a blue chew and you'll be totally fine.
True. Well, you might die. That's a lot of blood flowing through one specific part of the body, my friend. You're gonna have a heart attack. I guess a good way to go out. Now, before we get to the Guess a Wrestler, and I know we got an action-packed show, so I won't take too much of the time here, but I think I left us on a cliffhanger last week to where there's something that I caught my attention from Dubby last week that I think just is so apropos, and we have to share on the podcast. Jamie, you know, I have a famous saying. Say saucy. Sauce.
Say saucy.
A lot of sauce, and we're affiliated by Dubby, and I usually drink something in the mornings, almost every morning, to get me going. It's not Dubby, I won't lie to you. It's coffee. It's, you know, I like coffee. This is just an absolutely perfect partnership that we have with Dubby, because they now have this product labeled as the Dub Sauce. Ladies and gentlemen, the Dub Sauce. You can't get better than that. You can't get more apropos. When you mix our podcast, the Beyond the Junkyard podcast, you mix Dubby, you mix the sauce. It's got the coffee fruit extract in it. This is a match made in heaven, ladies and gentlemen. If you drink this, see that passion fruit juice sauce? Come on. The collaboration is there. The collaboration is one with us. So I definitely recommend, if you're going to choose any product on the W.GG website and use our promo code, you're going to get the Dub Sauce. Because not only are you going to win at life by getting a dub, you're going to say saucy by supporting us and by supporting Dubby, but you are going to have explosive ejaculations when you have sex, when you drink this, before the actual act. Listen, I actually don't know about that. But listen, you can't go wrong. You're supporting us. You're supporting the podcast. And I just wanted to share that with you all. So go get your stuff at w.gg. Fantastic stuff. Continue, friend.
Amen. Amen. DJ Wavy D said he told his girl to stay saucy, and she told me she can't make sauce if there's no meat to dip in it.
I like the way she thinks. That's exactly right. That's the kind of girl that you want. My wife would do the same thing and then slap the shit out of me. But we like that here in our household. So listen, smart girl, she's a keeper. Mix a little bit of W with that dub sauce.
Amen.
We'll keep her for life. All right.
Back to the program. Let's do Guess That Wrestler. How well do you know international superstars, my friend? Look, I'm trying to get a win.
You might get one tonight, then. You might get one tonight.
All right, here we go. I'll give you this hint. It is a current superstar somewhere, not in America, but he still wrestles for a company that is partnered with AEW. I'll leave it there. I'm going to start your 5-minute timer, and then you can ask me several questions. You can ask me anything from as simple as gender to promotion to championship history. And your 5 minutes, my friend, starts now.
Since this is, you've kind of already answered one, it's a male. Is he wrestling in Japan or Mexico, primarily?
He is currently in Japan.
Does he happen to be on a farewell tour that ends January 4th next year?
I sure as hope no. Sure as hope not.
Just making sure. Did this participant compete in the Super Junior tournament
this past year?
Yes, like just recently, this 2025?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
I think he's too old for it now.
Fair enough. Is this person part of a faction that is in AEW?
He's part of a faction that he is part of a stable that has two factions, one in Japan, one in the States.
I'm going to take one of my guesses, and I'm going to say, is this man Naito?
It is not Naito.
Okay. Does that mean that this participant, you don't need to tell me the name of the group. I'm just going to ask, is he a member of Los Facción Ingobernables?
He is a member of La Facción Ingobernable, yes, sir. Well, the New Japan version of that is
correct.
Los Ingobernables, yes. De Japón.
Now, here's where it gets a little tricky for me, because I have not refreshed my memory on who was all in the faction, so I'm going to run out of guesses before I really start naming them all. So I'm going to just name maybe one, maybe two, and if I haven't run out of guesses, then I'll really get a lot more selective. Is this Sanada?
No, sir.
Okay. Is he a former IWGP World Heavyweight Champion?
He is not the highest level of singles champion that he has won. He was the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion.
Okay.
He has held that belt 5 times for a grand total of 884 days.
Uh-huh. But this wrestler is native of Japan. He's not like a native of a different country and just wrestles for New Japan. Like, he is born and from Japan.
He is from Tokyo.
Okay. Again, I'm not trying to just spit out guesses, because I'm trying to be really selective here. Some of them, I don't know their whole name. I just know either their first name or their last name. So I'm trying to be selective here. I've already done two guesses. How many guesses do I have left?
You have, I think I give you four.
Okay, so two more. Two left. And how many minutes do I got left?
You have a grand total of 1 minute.
Oh, shit. Okay. Is it Hiromu Takahashi?
Motherfucker. Yes, it is. It's Hiromu. Hiromu Takahashi, my favorite. Yes, he is my favorite New Japan wrestler. So, damn, I 52 seconds away. 52 seconds away. That Naito guess was great because you were this close with Naito. Takahashi just lost the IWGP World Heavyweight or World Tag Team Championships, tag teaming with Tetsuya Naito. DJ Wavy D said it was so easy he got it on his second guess. So,
listen, you're just spitballing names. I bet I haven't seen the chat, but I don't know. Listen, I have to get Wavy D on the show, and I'll give him one so he don't get it.
Hey, he's recently a free agent in the podcasting space. We might have to get him on the show here.
Well, yes. Yes.
Mr. Hold on. This is how I know this guy don't know. This guy right here don't know New Japan. Kenta is not part of Los Ingobernables de Japón. He's part of Bullet Club, I think. And this guy don't even wrestle no more.
Listen. Can't fault the guy for trying.
All right. Well, hey, as we're transitioning, tell our viewers about the great partnership we have with StubHub.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, if you are looking to score tickets to the hottest events in town, StubHub has got you covered. Whether it's a concert, a sports game, hopefully you're not going to see the Atlanta Braves anytime soon because they are the most choke artist team in the MLB right now. They suck. I hate them. It's a love-hate relationship with these guys, and I hate them. They should sell the farm. You could probably buy great tickets on StubHub for about $10 now, including our code, because they're that trash. But anyways, if you're looking to go to a concert, sports game, that must-see Broadway show, any sort of live entertainment spectacle out there, StubHub is your one-stop shop for live event tickets. With millions of listings, you can easily find the best seats at the best prices. Plus, with StubHub's 100% buyer guarantee, you can shop with confidence, knowing that your tickets are legit and are ready for you to enjoy the experience. So y'all, why wait? Get saucy. Don't miss out on the action. Visit StubHub today and get your tickets to unforgettable moments. You got the Stanley Cup Finals that are going on right now. Great game last night between Edmonton and Florida. Game one of the NBA Finals is on right now between the Thunder and the Pacers. MLB season is obviously kicking in high gear. All-Star Game's coming around the corner before we know it. NFL football schedule got released earlier or last month. Single game tickets are on sale, so definitely use StubHub for that. College football tickets are going to be starting to go on sale here pretty soon. So get all of your live event concerts are in full swing as well. So get all those events at StubHub. Don't miss out on the action. Like I say, get your tickets on unforgettable moments. StubHub, the world's largest ticket marketplace.
Listen, you were listing off all of these great sporting events that you can go to and get tickets on at StubHub. And I just opened up the StubHub app, and the first thing that popped up in my area is Saturday, July 12th, running head-to-head with one of the three WWE shows that they decided to counterbook AEW All In. Little Mania Midget Wrestling.
That's what I'm talking about right there. See? They have your ticket needs for all live and entertainment events around the world. Can't tell you how much money they put into that marketing just to get that on the top feed there. I may have to go to that. I may have to miss every single wrestling show that weekend just to go watch that.
Absolutely. Well, maybe me too. Well, we appreciate StubHub for partnering with us. If you use the link in the description below, description box below, then you can help support the podcast. Let's move on. We're gonna spend a little bit of time talking about some of the biggest topics of the week involving the World Wrestling Entertainment brand, the WWE. The ever since WrestleMania, it feels like to me, and tell me if I'm wrong, it seems like it's been negative PR after negative PR after negative PR. It seems like they can't stop the damn bleeding for the past several weeks. And this week was no different, because I don't know, was it Monday or Sunday? R-Truth announced that he has been released, or he said released, but it's officially, I guess, they're not re-signing his contract. R-Truth will officially be a free agent at the end of his current WWE career contract. Shocking blow. I when I read that, I was like, I'm sorry, what? R-Truth, why is he getting cut? Carlito, a little bit after, announced that he was being he'll be a free agent at the end of his contract. Valhalla, which is Sarah Logan, announced the same as well, with rumor being that there are more impending cases of either wrestlers being released or their contract not being extended. And it seems to be the main factor being they just gotta clean the books up. If your input doesn't match the output, if you make too much or you're too old and you're not being used, you're probably next in line to get cut. And so I guess my first question on this topic, R-Truth gets cut. My reaction was, he's just joking. This is one of his April Fool's Day jokes that he likes to do. It turns out it's legitimate. What was your instant reaction when you first saw that R-Truth will no longer be in the WWE at some point in the near future?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly thought the same thing. I'm like, all right, it's part of his gimmick, but that's weird timing, but all right. And then obviously once the other journalism reported it, and obviously the superstars were commenting on it, you could feel that it was all of a sudden a pretty real thing. I guess age has a little bit to do with it, but if they're planning to bring back Goldberg, that's really nothing to write home about. But R-Truth has been one of the best, most entertaining performers in wrestling in general. You could feel his energy and the way that he was able to entertain the audience. It's pretty good. If the show wasn't doing as well, it was nice to be able to at least have R-Truth there to give us some comedic relief. So it was very, very interesting. Hell of a way to go out, though. Main eventing Saturday night's main event against Cena, or one of the main events. Pretty good way to go out. But, yeah, questionable as to at least, you know, you don't have to have him perform and wrestle every single night. You know, you can have the comedic effort there and at least have him out there entertaining the crowd, doing what he does best. Just released a country music song too pretty recently, which I thought was interesting. But it's, hey, that's a way to get yourself out there and not being afraid to try new things. And kudos to Truth for that. And hopefully he does well wherever he does go, or whatever he ends up doing. Absolutely. Maybe WWE brings him back at some point, but definitely very interesting why that happened.
So my take on R-Truth is this. Is obviously, so here's from what we've got more information, and it seems like WWE offered R-Truth a contract extension at a rate that R-Truth thought was a low ball offer, and he declined that price. If I'm WWE though, and you have a guy that is so beloved by your fan base, I don't know if there is a price tag for that. There's not a price tag to have a culture guy. Like, every locker room needs to have a culture guy. And R-Truth is a culture guy. And it seems to me that WWE no longer necessarily cares about culture and about the locker room what goes on behind the scenes, if it's a good, if you know the boys are vibing or not. They care about business. They care about how can they make the most money. And I was listening to, and I'll give a plug here, I was listening to Notorious Dirty D, his podcast. Go support the casual wrestling community. If you haven't subscribed to them, quick plug. But he I agreed with his content that when you start micromanaging the books and you start going based off some sort of formula to try and maximize profit, you eventually start to lose a key piece of your business. You when everything has to be dictated to the smallest iota of, well, this guy has to go because he makes this much money and he doesn't bring as much return of investment as some other guy at the no, like, this is the wrestling business. Our truth. I don't care what the price tag was. I would have brought him back. I would have given him a lifetime contract like Bret Hart got, but instead of not having the money, actually pay the guy. He would have had a lifetime check in the WWE if it was my opinion. Now, here's what I think is going to happen. And this is how WWE is going to make their bottom line look good while taking advantage of their partnership with TNA. I think R-Truth goes to TNA. I think TNA pays him whatever the fuck R-Truth wants to pay him. Because guess what? If he signs a TNA contract, they can still use them on NXT or on WWE product because of their partnership. And so this is now going to be the way. If you make too much money, we're going to cut you. You're going to we're going to not re-sign your contract. You're going to sign a contract with TNA or with AAA, which, by the way, Pat McAfee and everybody that's talking about AAA, it's not AAA, it's AAA, damn it. They're going to sign with these affiliated companies that they can still get the input on WWE TV. I don't think R-Truth should go to AEW. I don't think AEW should sign him, just simply because there's nowhere for him in AEW that is worth cutting out storyline. And the AEW finally has some sort of semblance of a storyline, and almost every division. We'll get to a piece that pissed me off last night when we talk about Fyter Fest later in the show, but they seem to have some form of semblance of a story in most every division. And just to screw it up, just to have that cheap pop, like, it would be cool to see R-Truth at AEW. I just don't see long term where he fits in. But no, the overall thing here is this is motivated simply by numbers. And you can't run everything simply by numbers. I experienced this in my day job. When you start to look at face level numbers without looking at the input that goes into getting those metrics, and your focus is solely on the face value, the surface level, you end up ruining morale. You end up ruining, excitement to work for WWE. And rumors have it, like, The Miz may be next. Though we don't know if there's any you know, if that's a serious rumor or not, but it sounds like he could be cut. Like, the idea for WWE that I've seen, if you're old or you get hurt too much and you make over a certain amount of money, that they feel like you don't bring in as much money as they give you, you're going to be cut in some way, shape, or form in WWE.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with pretty much all that you said there. I want to kind of spotlight a comment that was just posted there, not the most recent one, but the one before that, about the investors having to clean up the books and this and that. If I'm not mistaken, WWE isn't the only entity that TKO owns. UFC. Other things as well. It shouldn't be just a sole WWE reliability to be able to do this. Correct. And I think that getting rid of some contracts is understandable. WWE does this every year, and I think they already did it again this year with the spring cleaning thing. The fact they have to keep doing it is either A, showing me that in TKO, Endeavor, whoever you want to call them, is viewing WWE as a scapegoat and not UFC. UFC, I feel, brings in a shit ton of money with the sponsorships they have, the TV deals that they have, plus how much they charge for tickets, which is more than WWE events. I mean, just a fight night itself is ridiculous, let alone a UFC pay-per-view. But it's hard for me to believe that the revenue stream is so bad that they have to clean away the contracts. I understand that they said that there are $2 to $3 billion in debt between the Netflix deal, right, the live event gates, the merchandise sales, sponsorship deals. I would like to know what is causing that to be such a burden on the contract talk. And yeah, I understand you have a crap ton of people on the rosters. That's, I understand that. You got to slim or trim the fat. I get it. But all the revenue that UFC and WWE is bringing in, and we're still $2 to $3 billion, it was, in debt. Mm-hmm. What in the world is going on for them to be that far in debt for them to be doing this?
So this is what I feel WWE is to TKO Endeavor. The feeling is that WWE is their shell company so that they can take on large, enormous amounts of debt. Obviously, like, this to me is like, well, part of that debt is they just acquired AAA. So I don't know how much they paid for to acquire it. I'm sure there's some form of payment going on there. So they're just, but the idea is that it's not going to stop in Mexico. There's a plan to, I think, acquire Pro Wrestling NOAH. I think eventually they'll acquire TNA. The issue is they, if they could bypass like monopoly rules, monopoly laws, they would acquire all of these companies tomorrow. But you can't. You got to go through, and you can buy one, and then you got to wait a period of time, and then you can acquire another one, so that it doesn't look like you're forming some form of monopoly. And the idea is TKO is going to load up all of this debt, and they're going to make WWE, they're going to make AAA, they're going to make all of these other wrestling promotions and subsidiary companies take on a portion of that debt. TKO is just essentially a shell company where they can just throw large money, and then they'll create separate sectors of separate subsidiaries of the shell company to make their books look better. And then once they start paying back this debt, then they'll restructure and get rid of some of the useless shell companies that really don't have any purpose. You see these with a lot of corporate businesses where they have like a parent company and like 17 different other companies that they could really combine to just be one company and still be as productive and efficient. It's just they get better tax write-offs if they have several different companies. This is all it is. They've become super corporate, and we've seen that with their pay-per-views, with their shows. Now they're talking about putting logos on like the wooden tables that people go through. It wouldn't surprise me if at some point one of the champions has a sponsorship at some point on there. They're just it's corporate. It's sponsorship. It's no longer about the fans. It's about the investors. And I called this at WrestleMania. I saw this. It's no WrestleMania should just be called the showcase of the investors at this point. It doesn't matter about the wrestling. And at some point, it would not surprise me if we did not get live pro wrestling out of WWE, if it was all just kind of like cinematic B-level acting. If they just went into just cinematic acting and they didn't have any live shows, there you go. And the people that they're going to cut are the people that they used to produce their live events that are not televised. And since they've gotten rid of the majority of their non-televised live events, there's no purpose for people like Carlito and R-Truth, because they're not always on TV. They're always that comedic gimmick, comedic relief that comes in every now and again. It sounds like Karrion Kross may be cut, if I read the rumors right. Like, even after they kind of pushed this little thing at the last pay-per-view, it seems like they don't have any solid direction for him. I would say he's closer to getting cut than getting pushed, and he should be getting pushed if you've seen how over he, I think he was the top merch seller a while back. He's completely over with the fans, where Tony Khan likes to basically give into the fans and go to that extreme. WWE at this point has gone in the complete opposite extreme, where they couldn't give a shit who the fans are and what they want. They're going to do what makes them somewhat of a profit, even though it's led to them bleeding fans out of SmackDown. At this point last year, real quick, and then I'll let you say what you were going to say. This point last year, SmackDown was getting 2.3 million viewers. Now, granted, I think they were still on Fox, so they probably had a larger audience that could tune in. But last Friday's show, 1.3 million fans on USA Network. They are bleeding support. And I've seen more and more people say, is this a good time to watch AEW? And of course, the answer is always yes, you can watch AEW, and anytime's a good time. In fact, this is probably the best time to turn into AEW, because we're leading into our biggest pay-per-view of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I would like to know is, this time last year when Raw was on USA, what was the viewership like for that? Even go back as far as 2017, 18, 19, COVID. Like, I would like to know kind of where the trajectory is on that and how it compares to SmackDown. But what I was just going to say is, basically, WWE has now become WCW 2.0 in that Ted Turner owned the company, obviously, and then he sold out to Time Warner AOL. They merged. Obviously, they took on all the subsidiaries with Turner Movie Classic and TNT and TBS and AMC and whatever. Turner Movies, Warner Brothers, and WCW. And they just put all the debt on WCW and made him pay for it. And even though they had guaranteed contracts, they had to cut down on those. Obviously, they had to cut down and cater to the powers that be and do what the network wanted them to do, which was obviously owned by AOL, Time Warner, and all the liquid assets fell on top of WCW, and they just kind of hit everything and just threw everything debt-wise onto that company, so it made them look better, but it also helped them write their books better. Right. If you have the book Nitro, it's great in-depth analysis when it came to that, and then Guy Evans actually came out with a new book called Beyond Nitro. I've got that as well. Fascinating books to read about that, and it details all that in there as well. So slowly but surely, it kind of seems like the same thing is happening with WWE, where they're going to shell all that debt onto them and force them to kind of fix it up. Now, with that being said, like I said, they do have more performers and more people under contract than, like, say, a UFC or another sports or entertainment company that TKO may own, so they can probably afford to get rid of a lot of those, and it may shave off a little bit of the debt for sure. But it's an interesting it's a very interesting time indeed over there for that.
Yeah, so to answer your question, Raw 4-week average for the month of June 2024 was 1.681 million. So SmackDown ratings are lower on the same channel as Raw was at this point a year ago. So interesting. It sounds like the Raw numbers, though, I don't know if they're like Netflix has officially released them. They're not doing too hot. The only show that's gaining ground is NXT, who I think gained 8% from last week on Tuesday.
I would like to know what the year-to-date, the year-to-year comparison is with that. And obviously they're on the CW, so it's kind of hard to compare the two, more so when we get into October, November, when it's been the year-to-year average for NXT on the CW. It'd be a better comparison. But, yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to see what that is as well. Yeah, I see the stuff about Netflix and Raw. I'm just really hesitant to believe that. I'm sure they have lost some viewership, but I don't want to put all my eggs in that basket just because of the fact that it's so hard to find what the Netflix viewership is. I don't know how they're getting those numbers unless they are an inside scoop from Netflix or have a high source in Netflix. I don't want to just automatically assume that. I want to lead to believe that we really don't know unless somebody from Netflix is putting that stuff out. But, yeah.
Absolutely.
Interesting time indeed, though.
Well, the other WWE big news story that broke within the last week happened on NXT this Tuesday with the debut of formerly known as, because they will be getting a new name at some point in the near future, Mariah May makes her NXT debut and what I swear was a copy and paste rerun of when Ricky Starks showed up in NXT. To me, I went back after and I watched her debut in NXT and her first on-screen appearance at AEW. I don't know if you remember this. She was interviewed by RJ City, and I think her AEW debut was a better debut than her NXT debut, just simply because they told a story, and it wasn't just this vague debut that we don't really know what's going on. They didn't say Mariah May's name, but people know it's Mariah May. And obviously the point is she's getting a name change, and even as far as I think current date, they still haven't decided on a name for her yet. My question for you is, now that the drama is over, we know she's in NXT, how will Mariah May do in WWE?
First off, what is it with the copy and paste stuff from Ricky Saints to now Mariah May? To me, that's just lackadaisical effort. I will say that I think that her NXT debut was a little bit more grand than the AEW one, whereas she was backstage in an interview in AEW versus her, she was actually in the arena over top of everybody, spotlight on her. So it was a grander debut in that sense.
Right.
And what is it with them not having names for these people when they come in? Like, why do we have to wait 2 to 3 weeks for me to get a name out of this person? Just give me the damn name. Just give me the name.
You're right. She was
you
off
guys
screen.
Know the name. Just give me the name.
Well, as far as I understand, they still haven't picked a name for her yet. They still are going through the ideas. But which asks me, why debut her if you don't have everything set in stone?
Are we going to have a contract signing for what her name is going to be, like Ricky Saints? Or what are we going to do with that? Mariah Monroe has it written all over, but I mean, what do I know?
WWE owns Evolve now. Mariah May was once on an episode of Evolve under the name Mariah March. So I'm sure they maybe we'll pick that name and throw back to her Evolve days. My question is, does Mariah May really think that this is a better situation than where she was at? She's now in the developmental
100%.
Leagues. 100%. But she's now in the developmental leagues of WWE instead of being the top story in AEW. Look, I love Mariah May. I hope her the best. I know this was her dream. Conveniently enough, last week on Saturday, I talked about Mariah May, and I think if she wanted to follow her dream, then good. good for her. I know she didn't do it for the money because NXT contracts do not pay as much as what Tony Khan would be offering her. And so,
especially if they're trying to trim the fat, they're surely not going to hand out that big of a contract.
Oh, totally. But why does Jade Cargill get this big glamorous red carpet entry, but Mariah May doesn't? Why does Jeff Cobb get to jump the line to the main roster, but Ricky Starks and Mariah May doesn't? It seems like WWE has already basically said, Mariah May, you're not good enough, but you're good enough to take you away from our company, from your from our competitor's company. Oh, look, she's following her dream, and I get it, and I hope she does well. But to me, this is another story of what we're what we saw with Ricky Saints, what we're seeing with Ethan Page, what we see with Lexus King. You're going to get this big, grand entrance into a NXT. You're going to have a championship opportunity. I'm already pretty sure she'll have a championship match, probably either at Evolution or at the night before on Great American Bash, and she'll win the title head-to-head against All In, and boom, there you go. She gets her 45-day title reign. She has her fun for a minute, and then the next, you know, the next big thing gets called up from Evolve, and she loses her spot, and then now she's in the Forever mid-card. That's just, I think Mariah May has all the talent in the world to be one of the best wrestlers in WWE. They just have to book her right, and given the track record with people that they've signed from AEW to NXT, they don't have a really good track record at it. And so, which, by the way, that weekend in Atlanta is going to be really crazy. Not only do you have Evolution, you have
Saturday Night's Main Event's going to be happening Saturday as well.
Saturday Night's Main Event and Evolution and Great American Bash. But also, there's a Beyonce concert that Sunday. Oh, and guess what else is there that weekend? The MLB All-Star Game will be in Atlanta that weekend. Traffic is going to be ash in Atlanta. I know the Brave Stadium is outside of the city, but good. Leave 10 hours early to get to the city if you're going to be in Atlanta that day. Very great timing for you to stack a busy city already. But anyways, look, best of luck to Mariah May. I think this is career suicide. I don't think she – like, is she really going – is she – go ahead.
Here's the thing. She doesn't care what she's going to do in WWE. She doesn't because she's there now. That's her dream. That was all she wanted to do, and she is sucking the ever-loving juice out of this fruit, bar none. I don't remember her posting about a birthday cake or a cake that somebody sent her saying congratulations on your dream and getting to AEW or congratulations on getting to AEW. Every little thing that has to do with a balloon, a cake, whatever, she's sucking the juice out of it.
Was she given that? I'm pretty sure she bought it for herself.
Whatever the case may be, she is head over heels for the fact that now she is there. And she doesn't care. I don't honestly think she cares what she does because she's just shut. That was her dream. She's now there, and she's just happy to be there. She's a loyal WWE soldier, and she's going to do whatever they tell her to do, read whatever line she wants to be read. And I think her biggest thing was she needed to show how good she could be, and she did that in AEW, and now that's what got her the contract. And now in NXT. So-
This is going to be a repeat thing that we see for the foreseeable future. If you don't get it, if you get a WWE tryout and you don't get it a WWE contract at your tryout, just go to AEW because in 2 years they'll be calling for you again. This is what WWE is going to do now. They've seen that they're not able to use the Performance Center to build consistent new talent, so they're going to have these international stars who maybe aren't known to an American audience go work for an AEW for 2 years, make your money there, and then come back once you're an established name, and they'll give you your WrestleMania moment, and then you'll be just, you know, forgotten in the mid-card, making subpar money until the end of your contract when they decide that you're no longer worth it, and we'll just cut you without really caring. You're just part of the system at that point. This is going to be their system. AEW will build up the talent for the future, and WWE will buy them. If Tony Khan wants to, you know, prevent this from happening, he's going to have to be smarter with his contracts. He's going to have to sign these wrestlers to longer entry-level contracts. And at this point, like I look at it this way, I don't think Tony Khan cares. Mariah May made him a lot of money. Like,
yeah. I think that Tony is probably a good sport about it, saying, hey, best of luck. And obviously, you know, hopefully we could do some business down the road. I'm sure they left on good terms, and it is what it is. Right. But I think Mariah May is just going to be a WWE soldier until the day she retires. I don't think she cares if she gets a pre-show match on WrestleMania, the fourth match on the card, the sixth match on night two. I don't think she cares. As long as she's then WWE, she has a WWE name, brand banner, all of it. She is going to be there till the end. She'll probably take a pay cut to stay there, to be 100% honest with you, because she loves the WWE so much. That was her dream. And kudos to her for it. I mean, I kind of compare it to people that are in sports teams where you get a tryout deal, 1 year deal, sometimes a 2 year prove it deal, 2 year bridge deal. Prove it to me. Can we actually sign you to a longer term deal? And once they get that, then they know that they're a hot name. They hit the free agency market. They're going to get a top dollar from somebody, and they sign a bigger deal and go somewhere else. And that's kind of what I compare it to. And
right.
And that's just kind of how it is. Yeah, it'll be. I'm sure she'll be a Grand Slam champion at some point because she's been there for 30 years. But again, I mean, if that's what she wanted, she's got it. So
right. She got her dream. She can put that she's a WWE superstar on her name, on her resume. Speaking of Mariah May, I think she has merchandise now, but even if she doesn't, head on over to the WWE shop. Unleash your inner superstar from the electrifying moments, if you say so, of WrestleMania to the hard-hitting battles of Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown. WWE shop has the gear to match your passion. Snag those authentic tees, hats, and those championship belts. Though they're more expensive now than they were when I bought the WWE Championship a while back. I think they're like $400 or $500 now. $600 maybe. Go to WWE Shop. Use the link in the description today. Suit up to cheer for your favorite WWE superstars. Every fan deserves to feel like a champion. WWE Shop. Speaking of replica titles, did you see the pre-order price for the IWGP replica belt?
I have not.
$3,500.
Those tears are hitting real hard, man. I'm telling you right now. Ooh. Wow.
It better be the real damn thing and not a replica.
You'd be better off flying 30 hours to Japan and go buy one at the Tokyo Dome and bring it back over. It'd be cheaper.
When I saw that price, I was like, it would be cool to have, but not. I don't have that kind of money. Naito
come to my front door and hand it to me personally? I mean, what?
Gato,
who's going to come up here and give me that belt in person? Because I ain't paying that money for it.
Can Hiromu Tanahashi just show up at my door?
It's a belt for you. Thank you for purchase.
Let's talk about some AEW, though. That's what everybody comes to watch us for. AEW had a 4-hour show last night. I somehow stayed awake through the whole thing and watched it all at one time. The numbers came out, and let me tell you something. If you watched it live, I didn't like the way that they did this on Max, because it technically they did it right. There was an episode of Dynamite followed by an episode of Collision. The problem is, after Dynamite's portion went off the air, you had to leave the Dynamite stream, go to find the Collision stream, and click the Collision stream. I almost missed the Omega Okada fight because my internet is slow as shit, and sometimes it takes 5 years to get things to stop buffering on my TV. But it is what it is. Dynamite averaged 655,000 viewers. The Collision portion from like 10:15 to the overrun after midnight averaged 380,000 viewers. Honestly, they're about the same number as the shows on their normal day and time. So not much of a surprise on the numbers there. We talked about Mariah May, and she's gone out of AEW now. Well, Tekla, which I would say is probably the closest replacement to her, she made her debut on the Collision portion of the show. I thought she had a very strong debut. Her entrance is great. Her appearance is great. She had a pretty decent match with Lady Frost. What's your overall impression of Tekla through one match in AEW?
Very interesting character and gimmick. She definitely makes a presence on TV. It's different. That whole spider thing that she does and then kind of walks, that's kind of freaky. She's different. She's different. And I think that's just what draws her to AEW better. She's different. I don't think we can truly dictate how good she is in the ring yet, because she had a match with Lady Frost. And I'm not discrediting Lady Frost. I think she's a pretty decent wrestler. But with it kind of being a squash match, can't really get a good feel for it. The Queen Aminata thing was interesting, but you have to remember that it's a Collision portion of the show. So right. You're not going to get your Toni Storm, your right. Mercedes, things like that. You're going to get the Queen Aminatas, the Lady Frost, the Serena Deeb, I guess. You're going to get that kind of side of that, right. Which is fine.
Right.
But I think she had a good debut. She was very interesting. Now, I will say, I did not watch all of the show 100% back to front to back. I watched about an hour and a half of Dynamite, went to bed. So my day at work was very interesting today. Basically, I didn't go to my office in Kannapolis. I stayed at my place that I live most of the day. So I watched the rest of the show here. Problem I saw, I could go back and watch Dynamite from where I left off on Max. And that's where I watched last night, was Max. I did not see a June 4th episode of Collision on there. I typed in AEW, typed in AEW Collision. There was not a June 4th episode of it. And the Dynamite that it had for June 4th was only Dynamite, the 2-hour show. It didn't give me the June 4th. So I had to kind of find a way. Somebody pirated the show on YouTube. It's down now, but had it up there and I watched the rest of the show, but it was weird how on Max it split up like you said, but if you wanted to go back and watch it, it was not split up correctly. But again, I did watch the rest of the show, so it was fine. Great way to start Collision. Great overrun carrying from Dynamite into Collision. I love the fact that they waited for the Hangman stuff for the Collision part of it.
Right.
Get people to tune in and stay tuned in and watch through that. Ty Mello coming back. That was pretty cool. Good for her. Back with Anna Jay. That was pretty cool. The women's, they didn't have a whole lot of showing on this 4-hour show, but a lot of stuff going on. Got a catered to your Mexico
Absolutely.
Show coming up in 2 weeks. And then obviously we're building to the pay-per-view, so you're trying to just – I understand the problem with a four-hour program, that you didn't have a whole lot of women showcased. Maybe next week is a little bit different. We'll see. Another 4-hour block. from 8 to 12 Eastern. But like I said, you got to cater to the Mexico crowd.
Yep.
And we still have another a month almost to All In after that Mexico show. So it's plenty of time to not only build the women's title match between Toni Storm and Mercedes, gives us a lot more time to develop Tekla, to get more stories going on that will eventually carry over to All In. So I'm not too worried about that, but I thought it was a pretty good showing top to bottom. Really hot crowd, really good crowd, very unique venue, but it looked really good. And some things a little questionable about, but I just kind of figured we're still over a month from the pay-per-view. We got to get through this part here and we'll be fine. But some of the stuff I'm like, well, really? Why is this on the show? Why is this happening? But overall, it wasn't bad.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed this show. There was a lot of misunderstanding, I think. And some of it, I think, is intentional. Because I saw that idiot JD from NY, I think it was, comment that the main event of a four-hour block was Adam Culver and Paragon against... No, that was the main event of Collision. The main event of Dynamite was Kenny Omega winning the belt. So you they explained this. It wasn't like they deceived people. It was an episode of Dynamite followed by an episode of Collision. The reason they're doing this is pretty clear. If you again, if you see the Turner schedule, Saturday I believe is a Stanley Cup playoff finals matchup. Game one was last night, so it's either that or there's another sporting event or something going on. I think it's the Stanley Cup finals on Saturday. Game two or three will be on Saturday, and so they have this 4-hour block, and then. Same thing with next week. We have a 4-hour block. It's a 2-hour Dynamite followed by a somewhat 2-hour Dynamite and a somewhat 2-hour Collision. It's not one show. It's not a pay-per-view. You're going to get the same style that you get in Dynamite and in Collision. It's just in one night instead of two. I don't see how you can misunderstand that. They basically have said this 100,000 times already. But I think this show was great. I'm shocked they're giving us Ospreay versus Swerve next week. I'm really interested in where they're going with this idea. Swerve wasn't there last night. He was in Italy at a wedding with Renee and RJ City, which is why Lexi Nair was doing and Alicia Toot was doing backstage commentary and not Renee as well. And so we'll get Swerve next week in Portland. And so I'm excited to see where that Swerve piece leads. What does Swerve and what does Ospreay get for them going into All In? Obviously, you would assume they both would be on the card in some way, shape, or form. I liked the show. It was a very good show. We're building towards All In, but we don't have to build so fast that we kind of spoil secrets. So it was kind of slow and methodical leading to the build. I enjoyed it. What I did not enjoy, and you kind of briefly touched on it, was the fact that on a roughly 250-minute show, 12 minutes were dedicated to the women's division. I get it. You got to build towards this Mexican crowd. I get it. You got to build towards Grand Slam Mexico. I get it. There's a lot of stories being told. But I like to shit talk WWE when they don't use their women's division. And I'm going to do the same thing with AEW. 12 minutes is absolutely just a slap in the face to what I think is the best women's division in the roster. We couldn't give to... The tag match Mina Shirakawa Toni Storm tag match more time. Hold on. Yeah, we know we saw them choke.
Why do you have to mention it? We don't care.
Anyways, they could have given that match more time. I would have loved to see just them use more of their women's roster. Where's Jamie Hayter at? Where's Willow at? And I get it. Like, maybe we're building for something next week. Obviously, we have Tayjay versus Penelope and Megan Bain next week in Portland. But it's, you have, to me, it feels like they're going backwards to 2021 again, where the women's division got very little time. And your women's division, Tony Khan, listen, your women's division is one of your big selling points. It's a really big piece of the ratings. The people that watch your show love women's wrestling. And so you either are going to cater to them or you're going to lose them as fans because you're not displaying women's wrestling in its proper form. 12 minutes on a 4-hour show is absolutely ridiculous, in my opinion. And so it's just tough. It's just tough to see that the women's division, especially when there was so much promise, and you see
the potential.
You see the potential in the division. You see that there's like this big push for women's tag team division, and it seems like Tony Khan's building a women's tag team division. And maybe the idea is we build up the division first before officially giving us the titles. But we have at least 4 or 5 women's tag teams at this point that you could legitimately say are part of that division. You could use Tayjay is back. You could have Julia Hart and Skye Blue. You have Mina Shirakawa and Toni Storm. If you want to bring Athena and Billy Starks into that realm, Willow and Chris, I think they could put back together. Like, they have these women's tag teams, and that's what the people want. They don't want, sorry, I hate to say this, they don't want random trios match or 4-8-way matches between at Paragon and Daniel Garcia against the Don Callis family for the 8th time. Like, they want the women's tag team division. And so I don't know. It's disappointing to me that they only had 12 minutes of women's wrestling on that show. Next week, hopefully they have more. I think Tony Khan will learn from this and see, like, the fans really care about the women's wrestling. Look, for a while now, the women's division was doing really well. And it seems like Tony Khan's focus has flipped. The tag team scene was terrible several months ago. And it seems now that the men's tag scene is kind of on the up and up. We got the Hurt Syndicate there. This seems like they're trying to build a push for Gates of Agony. There's some other tag teams in the mix. Crew, Top Flight. And so it seems like they're putting a little bit of emphasis on the tag team scene. And now they're not putting as much emphasis on the women's scene. And so maybe it's just the cyclical nature of the business, is that the women's scene is just, it was hot for a while and now it's got to cool off. I don't know. But it seems like the only thing that they care about in the women's division right now is Toni Storm and Mercedes Moné, when there's just so many other stories that you can push and build and have people interested in. Like, where's the fallout from Anarchy in the Arena? Why is Willow just not doing anything with Marina Shafir? Like, they should have a feud, a one-on-one feud, and not just stuck in this mixed tag team intergender stuff. Like, I would like to see Willow versus Marina in a pay-per-view setting, one-on-one, and I think they would do a really good match. And so, anyways, that's me on my soapbox for a minute. What I am happy about, we'll get to that in a minute. Question, was 4 hours too long? Do you think they should do this going forward, or is this an experiment that they do it just because it's a necessity this week and next week, but don't do this anymore?
Yeah, I don't do this very often. I, for one, I will not do it. I will not. I don't sit there. I don't sit around for a 3-hour Raw or SmackDown. I sure as hell ain't sitting around for a 4-hour AEW weekly television show. I will more than happy give 4 hours for a pay-per-view. That's fine. I can't do this every Wednesday or even every Saturday. That's a lot of wrestling on a weeknight. It's fine for an experimental purposes, you know, especially with contractual stuff for TV stuff like the finals or whatever. You gotta switch up your schedule a little bit. That's fine. I'm okay with that. Every on a rare occasion, back-to-back weeks is a little tough, but again, I kind of understand it. Maybe once or twice at the most a year we can do this. Do not make this be a weekly thing or more than twice a year thing, because I will not watch it. It's fine for the rarity purpose of it, but there ain't no way that I would do this every single week. Not wanting to see that happen very often. And just to quickly kind of hit on your quick point about the women's tag team thing, I appreciate that if and when it's coming, the tag belts, they're doing a good job with bringing up teams and making teams. But again, my problem is going to be that after a couple months, it's just going to get stale. And that's just my biggest fear, is I'm just worried that that thing is going to get so stale so quickly and people just aren't going to give a shit about it anymore.
No, I think if you do it right, it won't get stale. I think there are several tag teams that we can run really good stories in the women's division. There's so many women, and Tony Khan doesn't do what WWE did. So everybody's biggest fear is, well, look at what WWE did with the tag team division. And they just, you know, they put two singles wrestlers together. Tony Khan I don't think he'll do that with the women's tag team division. Maybe I'm wrong. I just think women, like, one, the fan base of AEW is different than the fan base of WWE. They like women's wrestling more because of the wrestling aspect than how hot the women are. Like, I mean, let's just be honest. They do talk about how attractive the women are, but they really like what they do in the ring more so than how attractive they look. The WWE crowd is more in it for how hot the women look. Let's just keep it a buck there. And so with that, I think they would appreciate women's tag team wrestling more than what WWE's fan base did with their women's tag team division. I think there's so many tag teams and so many opportunities, I think, that you can do to really prove that women's tag team wrestling is a draw and WWE didn't give it the attention it should have. But we'll move into the last piece that I wanted to mention, and that is we got the match of all matches confirmed last night. Kenny Omega versus Kazuchika Okada at All In Saturday, the 12th of July, live from Globe Life Field Arena or Globe Life Field Stadium in Texas. All In, winner takes all. There were rumors that this was going to happen for several months now. Tony Khan made it official. We're finally getting Omega versus Okada in the United States. I think the last time they fought in New Japan was about 5 years ago, and it's been 5 years too long. This is the match that's going to be the poster board match for why you should buy the pay-per-view. As much as the Hangman Moxley match and the Monet and Tony Storm, like, this is going to be the ticket seller for the final however many thousand seats that they have available. Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada. Will these matches be better as their prior feud in New Japan, or is it going to be hard to beat those matches?
It's going to be hard to beat. That's going to be tough to beat. if they can just get a step below that, it's going to be, I mean, it's going to be great regardless. And then they're in AEW, so they're going to get the time. They're going to be able to do what they've done. And it's an appropriate time to where it's been long enough that people who watch their matches from Wrestle Kingdom and Dominion, not that they forgot about it, but it's, you know, yeah, you can go back and watch it, but having an updated version of it with a little bit more years of experience under these guys' belts can only help as far as the in-ring part of it. So it's going to be a great match. Winner takes all, that's great. I kind of wonder, and the biggest, and I don't mean to skip around, I'm coming right back to it, but the Mercedes versus Tony match, the only reason why I don't like it is for the fact that Mercedes has a TBS title. That means we're not going to get that defended on the show unless she pulls two matches in the same night. That's automatically going to take off one of your women's matches on the card. You can give me a women's tag team tournament and then have the finals be at All In Texas, or have the semifinals and the finals be on the show and get a couple more women's matches. But that's one reason why I don't like that. I don't even want the winner take all for that match. I just hate the fact that we have a person who already has a belt is fighting another woman who has a belt, so we don't get two title defenses for the women's division and getting more of them on TV.
Right.
They'll probably have a casino battle royal, and that's fine. But anyways, going back to Okada and Omega, I think that this will help him. Okada's been actually very entertaining on AEW TV, which is weird. I did not see that coming. It's been fascinating. Obviously, he's been pretty stagnant when it comes to the Continental title, but this automatically just jumped him into a different stratosphere of, oh shit, we know what him and Omega had done before. This is going to elevate him to a bigger plethora. I secretly want Okada to win this match for the fact that, and I don't think he will, because I think he's won both the times he's faced Omega, so I think Omega's going to get the win. But I secretly hope Okada does, because this would elevate him tremendously on the roster and would make him a little bit bigger of a star than he appears to be. Mm-hmm. And bring a little bit more legitimacy to the Continental belt, but also make him international title holder, so they would elevate him just more, beating Omega as well. I would like to see Okada win, but like I said, I think Okada's won a couple matches against Kenny already, so I think Kenny's probably going to get the win. But yeah, match is going to be great, and I think they've sold quite a few tickets here recently because of this match being announced.
Yeah, no, there was a Twitter thread that I saw last night after they announced the match that said that Okada actually has more to gain by winning than Omega has to lose by losing.
Absolutely.
And so I think it would be absolutely, one, a shock, two, it would be absolutely amazing if Okada could win this match. I don't know where the direction would be. I'm excited that they announced it and they can finally build this thing, because they've been teasing it for several months now on TV. But we have three really big matches on this card already confirmed on a show that probably, let's just be honest, will probably have 12 or 13 matches total by the time Tony Khan is done booking all the matches, with one of them more than likely on the pre-show being Big Boom AJ versus some random guy they find in the crowd, because he's been promoting the show here recently. So, I don't know. I'm excited for Omega versus Okada. The first time they've ever fought in the States for both titles. They're obviously probably going to unite both of the belts and make it one title, which is great, because let's just be honest, there's too many men's belts right now anyway, and not enough time for belts like the Continental title to have the time, which is why people think that Okada has had a bad championship run is because he hasn't really used that. But he's been super entertaining on TV. AEW has found a way to make their Japanese wrestlers who may not have the best American English expertise to find a way to make them entertaining and on a TV. It's like Shibata with the Google Translate person talking for them and all of that mess. And so I'm excited to see this match go down. It's a dream match. First time in the States for them. First time in AEW. And the question now is going to be, which match do they see being the main event? Is it the world title match? Is it the women's title match? Is it Omega and Okada? Like, which match is going to be the main event? There's a big push on social media, like it or not, for Monet and Toni Storm to be the main event. I think you have to go with Hangman and Moxley just simply because it's your world title. But there is a big push right now on social media for it to be Mercedes Moné and Toni Storm.
If it were title for title, I could see it being a main event. Problem I have with it is that if you put on Hangman versus Jon Moxley before them, the automatic response is Moxley's retaining. And you don't want the fans to automatically think that going into the match because it's supposed to be a big stake, high profile match. It's obviously your biggest story for your world title. Can somebody from the AEW side finally dethrone Moxley at the Death Riders? Now, if you have Hangman and Moxley go on before Monet and Toni Storm and Hangman wins, to me, that wouldn't be good. That would not be a good decision.
Right.
Because you want that lasting image to be, hey, we finally got an AEW original to win the belt back from this bastardly group.
And the problem with it is let's just say you want Moxley to win. You can't have Moxley win and then have the crowd feel invested in another match. The crowd is going to be pissed the fuck off if Moxley retains.
100%.
And so if your goal, either way, if Hangman wins, the crowd's going to be hype, and it's going to be so hard to keep the crowd invested into another match after that with Hangman winning because they're going to expose a lot of energy through that match. But then if Hangman loses, now you got a pissed-off crowd who really isn't entertained about whatever the fuck's going to happen in the next match. Anyway, so I don't know. It almost is written in the sand that it's going to be Hangman and Moxley in the main event for the main event of that show, which is, in my opinion, the way it should be. Like, I love Mercedes Moné and Toni Storm, but this isn't the card for them to main event the main event the show. This is built for Moxley to either retain and piss off the crowd or lose and finally lose the belt. So I think we're at the end of the show, and there's not a whole lot that's been going on that we haven't talked about. There's been a lot of news going on, a lot of stuff going on in the pro wrestling world. There's a lot of news going on outside of pro wrestling right now that it's hard to keep up with, but I tried my best to keep up with it. Twitter's very entertaining right now. If you're not on it, you should get on it and just laugh yourself to sleep tonight.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do one quick scroll through the chat, see if there's anything interesting there. Here we go. Okada's fall off should be studied, but it was going to be WWE who buried him. All AEW has proved is I was right, and the American audience doesn't care for him. No, you're wrong. The American audience loves Okada. I mean, every time he shows up, they pop for him. When he ends his phrasing with bitch and flips people off, they pop for it. And so
there his we facial go. Expressions and everything, it makes him very entertaining. The problem is the language barrier. He doesn't have a whole, I mean, he does talk okay English, but not great English. I would compare it to like an Eos guy or, somebody like that who they don't speak English very well. Instead of forcing him to be on TV and talk in English when we know it's not his strong suit, have him say the very few words, say the catchphrase, flip people off, show the facial expressions, and be entertaining. And I think the problem with AEW was facing okay was he came in at a good time and a bad time. Good time because of Takada, big name talent. Bad part was we have a lot of cooks in the kitchen. Where does he fit in all this? Right. And slowly but surely, we're integrating him more and more on TV into bigger feuds. Obviously, this is the biggest feud since he's been in AEW. So I think we're starting to turn the corner of him becoming a bigger name star right. on screen in the ring versus just a character side of it.
Yeah, his biggest crutch was he came in as part of the Elite. And that entire group for the longest of time just wasn't always there. So there wasn't much for him to do now that he's kind of, I don't want to say separated himself from the Elite, but the Elite are helping the Death Riders at this point. He's kind of on his own and now he can kind of do his own thing. So, but yeah, this weekend, Money in the Bank. We have Worlds Collide. Hey, remember when they got Triple A and everybody said that like it's gonna be a really big investment for WWE? Well, the way that they're treating this investment is they give you Worlds Collide free on YouTube, not on Peacock, not on any of not on any other YouTube. You can watch it for free on YouTube on Saturday. You can watch Money in the Bank on Saturday night. I probably won't watch either of them, to be honest with you, because that's one last thing. Why are both of WWE champions in a tag team match and not defending their titles at Money in the Bank?
Great question.
Anyways, this is why I say WWE doesn't care about the wrestling anymore. They just care about the advertisers. I'm gonna pass it to my co-host who has the final words. You have the floor, my friend.
Yes, sir. Well, first of all, I really bring up Wavy D's comment, the two-time IC thing. Another one about that one. I guess the wrestler, I guess. 07 Hall of Fame, that was Bockwinkle, Jim Ross, Jerry Lawler, Wade Boggs, I believe. William Perry, who was in Detroit. Kurt Hennig was a two-time IC champion in the NWO. I'm gonna guess Kurt Hennig. Is that right, Mr. Perfect? I'll wait for his response before we sign off here. Maybe. Nick Bockwinkle was also in that class. That was my guess, was Kurt Hennig. We'll wait for his response if he shows up. So, yes. In general, have a great weekend, y'all. Stay safe. Enjoy the most sauciest thing you've got cooking. It was, hey, look at that. See? tune in next week. One of these days, we're going to flip it around, and I'm going to give you a guest wrestler, James. We'll see how that works. But anyways, in general, friends, for today, tonight, tomorrow, forevermore, stay saucy.
Tune in on Saturday. I will post the solo show. We're going to bring back week two of my baddie competition. I am diving into the world of women, which I shouldn't be doing, but I'm doing it for the community. I did it for The Rock. Anyways, tune into that. Anything that has happened in the IWC, we'll talk about in the community show on Saturday, but tune into this podcast tomorrow morning anyways, and we'll see y'all next week.
beyond the